Andre was a writer into Gurdjieff stuff, and so then he redid it with the actor Wally Shawn, maybe his name is. Wally
okay, Shawn. So the person's real name that had dinner with Thompson was Andre.
Yes, and he kept his name in the movie. Shawn having a dinner with a Gurdjieffian, maybe Grotowski Polish theater guru,
okay.
Somebody, you can look him up. He has a history of teaching. And there's years ago I read, holy shit, it was connected to Lindisfarne, to Thompson somehow. So somebody in the Thompson scene had a conversation, and then Andre made it into a dialogue in a movie. Anyway, so this was my dinner with Bob and Carolyn. So did you hear our report about it?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so
good.
What I got was you ate a lot of pie.
I ate a whole bunch of stuff, voraciously. The point is,
yeah.
Ted's never seen me eat so much, so ravenously, and he's saying, this is Bob on the drops, 3 years after Vancouver in 2013.
Right. It's just, I'm impressed hearing that you pace around the house and you're not, it's not reflected in your breathing at all on the phone.
Right, right.
Can't
so,
even hear.
Rejoice, I talked to her a year ago, hadn't heard, talked to her in a long while, and I was pacing upstairs, up and down, and on that floor, but I didn't think about it. And she said, why? Are you nervous talking to me? I said, no. Well, you're breathing hard. So, no, I'm up here pacing back and forth viciously. And I said, if you listen to the old rewrite recordings, you'll hear me breathing all the time as I pace up and down for hours, keep moving just to have some exercise. Otherwise, I'm just sitting here. So she thought that I was afraid of her and was breathing nervously.
or coming on to her. Breathing
yeah,
heavily.
Yeah. I don't subliminal, chakra work.
Yeah, I unconsciously like to pace myself or sort of be vertical when I'm on the phone a lot.
It would be fun if you had a live camera. It would look odd. If you watch me, I'm going round and round in circles like a mad fucking wolf in a cage. That's what
right.
I'm doing while past hour. And Carol's sitting there just watching me go round and round. She hardly notices it unless she has an audience, then she reported, but she's used to it. But yep, I
don't want to say
what
you don't want to say things about it because then you start making up crap. But it's almost like whatever's you're dispelling some of the flow that's coming through you. You're
no, basically I can't be sitting around for 20 hours. It
yeah.
starts you hurt your back. So I'm up and down all the time.
Yeah, that's a good point too. You're on the phone for many hours.
Yeah. So there's this TV show called The Romeo Section, which is an
Yeah, is this what Chad posted about on Dupes?
Yes, it was written up on Dupes, but I want to hear Chad sort of verbally lay it out because it's an exact replica of March 2013, which in odd trip, I broke up with Dave Worster. That's when Worster sort of had enough of us, and he hung up in a fit. You guys heard about that. Remember that? We were with Bob Carr, his old nemesis.
Yes.
Yeah. We were taping him. But anyways, that was... And then I met with Jack Cifrati. Oh, shit! We got to phone Jack Cifrati. Just try this. It's probably too late, but if it's Saturday night, maybe he's home. It's only 1 o'clock. Let me just try that. Just hold a second. I'm going to see if he answers. This is all pre-happened in the universe. This will happen if it's going to be, if it's already happened. If it hasn't happened, it won't happen, Like, we just have to go through the motions, catch up to ourselves. Right? Right, you with me, people? You get the metaphysics of it?
Yeah, I'm on Jack Sarfati's wiki page.
Good. So it's like Jack Sarfati right now, he's gone to bed, he can't sleep. So 1 minute ago, he gets up, and he's in the kitchen, and he's getting a cup of coffee, and now Bob calls. But if it wasn't meant to happen, he would have fallen asleep. Or he did fall asleep, and we won't get him. So here goes.
Sarfati specializes in the study of quantum physics and consciousness, so he should appreciate this, one would think.
Yeah.
Are you there, guys?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I dialed the wrong number. Got to go back in again. Okay.
Just 06 3 1 5 6 is not available.
You guys there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just got his voicemail, so we won't do that again. Okay. So this series is based on the visit, and I stayed on the University of British Columbia campus, and the filming of a lot of it is around that part of the campus I stayed. And Angela lived further down on the campus from where I was. So it's right in the area where I had not been in Vancouver in 40 years, Jed. I think I passed through in 1980, but wasn't there very long. Basically hadn't been there since the 70s.
One of your first observations, because the campus is pretty impressive. There's a lot of really new, sharp, technological-looking buildings there. And it was kind of done at a time when the rest of North America wasn't doing much new development after the credit crash. So, you know, it's just impressive. It was like one of the most leading-edge-looking cities in North America.
And it's in the middle of a forest.
It's in the middle of a forest. Yeah, it's kind of like that show Eureka. Remember Eureka?
Yeah.
Where the sheriff is driving through the big forest, and then all of a sudden he ends up in this town out in the forest full of geniuses and all this technology. It's kind of like a mini Eureka. But one of Bob's first observations was, well, this must be sponsored by Chinese Dope Inc. There's no other way they could be getting money to finance that. And look at the names of the buildings and who they're sponsored by. It's like Robert Lee, the Tsingtao School of Journalism, like a lot of Chinese money flowing through there. So that was Bob's call back in 2013 when he was there. And this series, the Romeo section, is like a mirror of what Bob was experiencing and talking about while he was on campus for... How long did we determine you were there for? 3 weeks?
I was there for a week, then went over, saw Sasha, then I went down to San Francisco for a week, and then back up to you. So I was in your place for a total of 2 weeks. And we did a couple radio shows.
It seems like you did at least two or three radio shows.
Yeah, maybe 2.5 weeks.
I think you did a couple with James Kidney.
Yeah.
At UBC.
Yeah.
And it was during the time when I guess James Kidney had just wrapped up Fringe.
Yes.
He'd been just finished up with Fringe. Just started on the drops. James was playing the lead observer, the big boss of all the observer angel people and Fringe. So, and the interesting point of that, we'll come back later when I explain the characters that are in the show. So anyway, Bob told me about a week ago about this Romeo section show. It's shot in Vancouver, mostly on UBC campus. And like all the locations in the show are the locations. Like they're talking about the university, they're talking about Hastings Street. They're actually using the real locations in Vancouver as the content for the show. So it deals with this guy who's a professor at the university, Wolfgang McGee. He specializes in issues dealing with China and opium and the opium wars, China and Britain. And he lays out this thesis that he has over the course of the 10 episodes in the show. I think there's about four times maybe that it shows him lecturing his students and laying out his thesis in these little bits. And then throughout the first 10 episodes, those lectures sort of weave together to show his whole thesis. So anyway, Wolfgang is also, besides being a professor, he's also a member of the Canadian Intelligence Service, which is like the Canadian version of the CIA. And the guy who manages him, his name's Al, and he's bald, played by this bald actor. And I knew that I recognized that actor from somewhere, and I looked it up. And the bald guy who manages Bob's character in the Romeo section is the guy who played December on Fringe, which was one of the top badass observers under the James Kidney Observer. So there's a link back there. So we've already got one of James Kidney's cronies, observer friends from Fringe, is in this show. So there's already a connection. And Bob had suggested to me that this was a very Ionic series and that characters and themes in the show have things to do with Ion and Bobdom. So Bob laid out a couple of characters. He said the main character, Wolfgang, the professor, is him. And then he said that Rufus, who's like the young spy master in training under the Bob character, is me. And then there's a Chinese girl who I guess she's either a doctoral student or she's a professor, assistant professor or something. She's Chinese, and she has an interest in the Bob character. And Bob said that that's Angela, because when we were on campus, Bob spent a lot of time with Angela. A lot of times I was busy working, so Angela would take him on a tour. So they spent a lot of time together on the campus, just like the Bob, the Wolfgang character and the Lily character do on this series. And Bob said that the Al character that Bob's character reports to is Carolyn, because the Al character keeps the Bob spy character in check when he starts working too far outside the lines. And then there's just a bunch of other characters in there that resonate with different Ionauts. There's a new regime coming to town for the Chinese triad called the Red Mountain. They deal in heroin at all the different ports on the Asia-Pacific Rim.
And your mountain name, that's the mountain.
Right. And the head of the new young boss of the Chinese triad, the Red Mountain character, represents Ion. It represents a regime change in the cosmic order. And the character that plays the new Chinese boss, the character that plays the Wing Lei, the young guy's father or uncle, is, represents Dave Worster, because that's the old cosmic awareness order. So that's the regime change, is Ion coming to town to replace the old Pacific Northwest cosmic awareness order that was there before, represented by Dave Worster. It's interesting because, like you said, Bob, that was the time that you broke up with Dave. So there's the regime change part.
Yeah. Now, didn't we say there's another guy, the general? Oh, he could be a 418 group member.
418 group member. But I think the Dave Worster thing really works better.
Right. And this general, he was a top general. He was on the march with Mao, but he got arrested during the cultural upheaval in the 60s by the young people, Cultural Revolution. So he's in jail for a long time, and then the government released him, and it seems that he's assigned to go over and run the dope trade in Hong Kong and Canada, all around the Pacific Rim. It's not clear whether he did it on his own or he's sponsored by the government, but they're a pretty respected family, and his daughter, this Lily, is very respected.
Mm-hmm.
They're like Chinese Illuminati.
It's interesting. It's interesting how all these characters relate to each other in ways that are parallel to the way that the Ionauts have related to each other. So the character that plays the general's daughter is the Angela character. And, you know, saying that Dave Worster would be her father, you know, it's not her biological father, but I mean, before Angela came to Iondom, she was really into the cosmic awareness kind of stuff. Not cosmic awareness in particular, but parallel ones. Like, what's her name? Al Min. A woman from Oregon, I think. So she was into other representations of cosmic awareness. So the guy who leads the white gang, so there's the white drug dealing gang, and his name is Vince. And that represents James Martinez. And it's funny because he does kind of look like a young, sort of more wormy version of James Martinez. Don't you think, Bob?
Yeah.
Just the shape of his face and stuff.
He's a tall, thin version of James.
Yeah. So he's the head of the white gang. And another main character is this guy who was in Mexico working as a prosecutor and ended up prosecuting the cartels and then had to get out of Mexico to for him and his wife were going to get out of Mexico because they were going to get killed because he was a prosecutor. So he's hiding out in the church trying to get sanctuary. And that character represents, I don't even want to say the name.
Well, Matthew Hurtado.
Okay.
That guy represents Matthew Hurtado. Because
then,
you don't know, you can't tell whether this guy's a criminal or not. You don't know what whether he's lying because he's a bad guy out of Mexico or he's a good guy and in trouble with the bad guys. That's kept ambivalent for a long time.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is the Bob character keeps trying to get in contact with this Mexican guy. He wants to get in there and talk to him because he could be a really good asset because he studied and dealt with the cartels down in Mexico. So it could help him with his overall framing of the whole dope and cocaine ring in the Pacific Rim. But the Miguel, the Mexican guy, the Matthew character, he keeps evading Bob. He doesn't want to... He's running from Bob. He doesn't want to be interviewed by him. So that's similar to Nardwar, the radio show host, the way Bob was chasing him around campus trying to get an interview with him. So the Miguel character from Mexico is kind of like a double-sided character. One hand it's Matthew, the other hand it's Nardwar. And then there's this girl who becomes an asset. She gets recruited by the Bob character to watch the cartel guy, Miguel, and just a young girl named Eva, and that represents Sarah, the one that went and worked with Matthew.
Yeah, Sarah Landucci.
Yeah. And then we've got a U.S. agent. Oh, we missed somebody. So there's the girlfriend of the white gang leader.
James Martinez.
Who is, yeah, the girlfriend of the James Martinez white gang leader. Her name is Dee, and she's married to the James Martinez character, but she's also banging the Chad character because the Chad character is trying to infiltrate the white gang. So that's why it's called the Romeo section, because there's Romeo spies and there's Juliet spies, and they use seduction as their tool for infiltrating gangs and things like that. So
D is Little Sarah, and Chad told me there was a rumor that Little Sarah and Chad were going together.
Right. After Angela had left. Yeah. After Angela went back to Ireland. There was some kind of rumor of that. Sarah said that her boyfriend thought that me and Sarah were having sex somehow from across the continent.
Right.
So, then there's the Fred Foy character. This is the U.S. agent. What department did he work for? Was he DEA?
DEA.
The DEA guy, Fred, he's trying to catch the Mexican guy so that he can bring him to the Department of Justice and have him testify and then provide him with witness protection after that. But anyway, Miguel doesn't want to do that, so he's trying to avoid this guy. And the Fred U.S. DEA agent represents JW trying to capture Matthew. That was
right.
Bob's idea. That's Bob's read on it. We collaborated on some of these. Yeah. Bob and I collaborated on most of these characters and who they map to and I on them, but some of them Bob just flat out defined himself. And then there's this couple. They're part of the Canadian intelligence assets, and they're named the Gascoins, and in the show they get captured over in China as spies. Like, they get found and they're held by the Chinese government, and the CIS is trying to get them back from China. That's like an ongoing theme through the whole series. And that represents, and then while they're over in China, the husband of that couple gets turned by the Chinese government and converted to a Chinese spy. But anyway, Bob compared that couple to Pam Wall, who was in the act of INET back in 2010, and Randy Moggins. So do you want to explain that pairing?
Well, they defect from the Bob world, or it looks like that. So Bob is his name is Wolfgang something. Wolfgang Bob is very upset about these friends of his. Pam Wall and Randy Moggins, who nobody can figure out how the hell, why did they go over to the Chinese? What happened? So I'm saying, you know, this is alienated Ionettes, or Ionettes, Randy and Pam.
Right. So it's interesting that your character in the show is called Wolfgang, because a few months after you were in UBC is when Keith started his little gang, and he called it the Acid Wolf Radio. Remember that?
Mm.
He had his little... He had the Acid Wolf Radio, the whole
acid.
Wolf thing.
Acid
Wolf
acid
Radio.
Wolf.
So,
wow.
So, Keith was trying to create his own version of your cult, and he was naming it after Wolf.
And he got Angela involved, even you a bit, and you guys said... You should learn to talk more with Giggy, because you can track the edgy youth audience if you bring Kiki
right.
in. And then Angela, I remember telling me she got involved with it and was on it, but Kiki would attack her all the time. So she eventually quit the Kiki cult.
Yeah, but his whole thing, everybody in his cult was going to have a wolf name, like Sky Wolf, Desert Wolf, that kind of thing. So the Wolf Gang... Kiki's gang was the Wolfgang, and that's your name here in the show, Wolfgang McGee. So we did the gas.
There's a bit of Kiki
what?
In this.
Yeah,
we don't
it's like
know
Wolfgang.
If this Bob guy. See, he's criticized for not having any feelings and being too detached. So Kiki would definitely like to be considered detached. So we can't tell whether Wolfgang Bob is leaning towards the great good Bob guy or the bad Kiki. We can't tell.
Right. Yeah. And then there's this professor that works with the Wolfgang Bob character. Sometimes he subs in for some of his classes and teaches his classes when he has to go out and do spy things. Of course, she doesn't know that he's a spy. So he just makes up excuses.
She's trying to get seduced by him, it looks like. Right?
Yeah.
She's making herself available. And she's a burgeoning novelist, writer. She's an intellectual aesthete.
Yeah. And that represents Ginny, but it's more for the reasons of because she's very, you know, it's an intelligent woman and she's responsible.
She's capable of taking over Bob's lecture.
Yeah.
And Bob's capable of doing her lecture, her class.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob fucks up. He misses her class. And then she has to adjust to that. He didn't
right.
apologize much.
No, he never apologizes for anything.
Right.
And then it's funny because when he meets the Eva character and tries to recruit her, the little girl that helped the Mexican guy, he's in her apartment explaining who he is. And so she's like, so what do you do? And he goes, I don't really do anything. I just get other people. I get other smart people to do things for me.
Yeah. That's
familiar.
Sarah Landucci. I got another email from Sarah. She wants to do a radio show or something. She's asking me something right now. Yesterday, wanted advice on. Well, I won't look it up right now, but you know, and she asked you. Sarah asked you to join her show, her radio show, or
mm-hmm.
help her.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got.
Now we got Helen. So Helen is Wolfgang's mentor. So Wolfgang's Bob again. So Bob's mentor, and he goes to her occasionally because it seems like he's about to be, what's the word for it? What's the agency going to do to him?
He's going to be framed.
Yeah.
He's going to be blamed for the turn in the Chinese couple, in Pam and Randy. Now, he had met with her. We know that. He tells somebody. But he lies to Carolyn. Carolyn, that he didn't have anything to do with them.
Right. So he goes to his mentor whenever he's a little bit concerned about what's going on and how the agency's going to try to squeeze him, and just goes to her for advice. And that was his original mentor that recruited him into the Canadian Intelligence Service. Her name's Helen in the show, and that represents Mae Russell.
Yeah, she's a tough old battle axe. So that's Mae Russell. And Mae, if you screwed up on something, she'd let you know. You know, she didn't hold back. And so she's always very suspicious of Bob, thinks he's screwing up. He's screwing up with Lily, the Chinese triple agent or whatever. She's not sure. She's suspicious of Lily, who is Angela.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob says, no, I've got this. I know how to handle Angela, basically, is what Bob's saying about Lily.
Right. And then there's one more character, Ivan, but I don't think I want to explain who that is. Well, okay, Ivan is the one who goes to rehab with the Sarah character.
Right.
So Vince, with the head of the white gang, his wife, he gets her into rehab. They kidnap her, put her in rehab. Then while she's in there, there's this other guy in rehab that's kind of stalking her. He's just kind of creepy, lurking around her all the time.
And we can't tell whether he's working for the DEA or the Canadian government, trying to figure out what D's up to.
Yeah, but he's always kind of spying on her when she's talking on the phone or she's somebody comes to visit her. He's always lurking around the corner watching her. So that's Kiki.
Yes, that could be Kiki. Yeah, Kiki with little Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jed character, he's a dope dealer. He got in trouble, so Bob brings him in as an informant to infiltrate the James Martinez gang. So Chad is infiltrating James Martinez, and that happens through Curtis, the gold guy that James was using for all his so-called esoteric information when he would have these little press conferences and say, well, we're doing this and that. That would be Curtis was the feed to James, and Chad met Curtis, who was a friend of the Bob guy from back in Windsor.
Yeah.
The guy who was into Bob back in 95.
Yeah.
Yeah. A Bob thing in Chad's own life when he was a kid, teenager, he's involved with Curtis's daughter. And Curtis is there very interested in Ion, but being very careful not to get suckered. He's sort of just observing. And Chad's talking to him, teasing him, you know, why don't you get more involved and all this stuff. And Curtis was always, remember, and that's James Martinez's real name, James Curtis. So you've got, you know, this guy Curtis. Chad's prompting him, what are you afraid of? You know, talk to Bob. And Curtis wouldn't do it.
No.
So,
not only that, but he thought that he was in a superior position where he was going to come in and finance and take eye on them to a whole major global level.
Right. And so he was trying to figure out how powerful I was as a resistance of that. So you have Curtis / James Martinez. So this guy, so Chad is connected to the James Martinez double, and James Martinez gets involved with his double, and Chad gets hired by Bob to infiltrate Curtis, and then Chad will get rid of his dirty past if he does it, if he pulls it off, if he does what Bob wants him to do, which is to start getting in there. So because the Hong Kong guy came in, because Ion came in, it moved Chad to a new level, to the number one. Now Bob said, oh, now you can infiltrate the Ion movement, the Ion guy, the head of the new Hong Kong dope system from the general. So it totally fits Chad in that Chad is competent, and he keeps finding out stuff, and he keeps asking Bob, well, tell me what's going on. And Bob won't fucking tell him. Right, Chad?
Yeah, the big picture. He wants to know the big picture.
Right. And Bob's very careful not to. He doesn't really trust Chad, so he doesn't tell Chad everything. Chad knows this, so he gets frustrated. So Chad eventually dumps Bob because Bob
stops calling in. He misses the meeting the first time in 2 years, so he stops. Yeah, he stops. It's the equivalent of stopping calling in to payday or something like that.
Oh, it's when you went to Ireland. You were away and didn't call much from Ireland, and then you came back, and then, you know, late or summer, August 2010, had to start over again in Vancouver, and then you started having sessions again. But there was a big gap there. And
yeah.
Then you didn't know we were doing Rewrite, and then by the end of the 2010, you realized, holy shit, I told you about, hey, we're doing Revelations. I think you hadn't even done Revelations. So you ran through Revelations in a couple of weeks to qualify for Rewrite, and then you caught up. So you were missing in action for a while.
Yeah, and in the show, it's the Bob character sends some agents in to go arrest the guy and bring him in. He's like, what are you arresting me for, the Chad character? What are you arresting me for? And they're like, for being a fucking asshole. They put him in a room, and then the Bob character comes in and grabs a phone book and starts beating him with a phone book. What does that represent? What does that represent in terms of media, being beaten with a phone book?
Well, when I remember when I said that you were redoing a Rye action. Remember getting mad at that? Don't know
yeah.
the joke.
I don't know the
code. Yeah, you said Chad's redoing the Rye action.
And
going
you got
over
insulted
Ireland
by that.
And, yeah.
Yeah. You, and so that would be the little tense part, or me beating you up or something.
Yeah.
So what happens is that they're bringing in this big box, container ship stuff, and they
living in a box, in a cardboard box.
Oh yeah, good point.
That was another thing.
And then they find out that there's a little monitor in the corner of the box, so it's watching all this maneuvers because Chad has decided to rise up. And Chad's accomplished so that the Hong Kong guy, the Ion calls him number one. And he starts raising Chad up into his own organization to be equal to Ion, right? That's mm-hmm. it. He decides you're number one because you're competent. But now you're rising up there, and Bob's taking advantage of this. Okay, you infiltrate the Hong Kong guy. You're also trying to pretend you're still loyal to James Curtis, James Martinez. And then you get mad at me, so then you make your move with the Hong Kong guy. But you're basically going to take off with little Sarah, who's going to leave James Martinez, and they're going to go, is there anybody there? Is Bert there? You're all unmuted.
Yes, Bob, I'm here.
So guess where Chad and little Sarah are, once they rip off, they rip
no,
off.
No, well, gotta correct that. It's not Chad and little Sarah. It's when the little Sarah character gets out of rehab and she goes back to James Martinez, the dope dealer, the white dope dealer, her husband, right?
Yeah.
To try to make up. So she goes back to him and goes, okay, let's make up and give me a second chance. But she's only doing it, you know, to infiltrate. Because she's more aligned with the Chad character. They're in the Chad character, trying to take over the white gang completely for themselves. But so
let me say this,
she's making
little Sarah started the gang. She's a competent juvenile delinquent, got involved.
She's the one that had the connections. Yeah, she had the connections because her dad worked at the port, or he owned something at the port or something, and allowed them to recruit these guys that work at the port.
Right.
She built the gang.
She is pissed off at James Martinez, so she wants Chad to murder him.
Yeah.
But Chad is faking being interested in little Sarah. He's sort of interested, but he's obligated to Bob, and he wants to get out of this obligation so he doesn't have to go back to jail and then be free. And Bob's promising freedom, promising ascension to him. And it gets so frustrated. And then Martinez gets suspicious of little Sarah, so he doesn't really believe her when she's coming back out of the.
He believes her enough. He gets fooled enough that he's like, okay, let's get out of here because things are getting too hot. He can kind of tell that his own gang doesn't support him anymore, and then he's getting pinched in another way by an agency. So he's feeling the heat.
James Martinez, we can say it. None of you are going to watch it. James Martinez works for Chad is working for the Canadian government because he has to get his sentences diminished. And James Martinez is working for the DEA because he got caught with some dope. So little Sarah finds this out, that her own husband is a bad guy, double agent.
He's a rat, and he's leaking all the information. And that's why the little sensor, the tracker, got put onto the container, was because he told the DEA, because he made a deal with them.
Yeah, the DEA was monitoring the whole thing. And then, now, Kate's saying something?
No, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So here's Chad doesn't want to really kill, he doesn't want to do another murder. He's already being framed by a previous murder over Rick. So Chad is trying to go along with Dee and not let her know that he works for the Canadian government, and that he might not kill Martinez.
Martinez. So anyway, when she comes out of rehab, though, she goes back to her husband, James Martinez, and is acting like she wants to get back together with him so she can get more into his life and distract him when they need to distract him, or tell him to go somewhere else when they want him to get out of the way. And then he goes, okay, we're going to go and just run away from all this shit after we drill into the container tomorrow and we get the stuff out and it's all over, and we're out of here, and here's two tickets to Maui. We're escaping to Maui.
You get that, Bert? Bert, are you there to express your appreciation of this?
Yes.
They're going to escape to fucking Maui.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Damn.
No, that's like a new rating. Bert, damn. You know,
yeah,
Bert,
damn.
Worth 8 points. Now, isn't it Dee and Martinez's dream to go to Maui? And then Dee is going to do Chet.
Not really Dee. Dee's faking it. She's just going along with her husband to try to get back in, infiltrate him.
Yeah.
So she has a sense of dread on her face. When he says, okay, we're going to Maui, she's looking over his shoulder when they're hugging and has a sense of dread on her face. Like, oh, fuck, I gotta go to Maui with this guy. I want to stay here with Chad, take over the gang.
So she schemes with Chad for them to steal the tickets and go to Maui, right?
I don't remember that detail. Maybe I missed that.
But they were going to escape, too. Like Chad said, well, I've had it with Bob. I'm not working. I'm not answering his phone anymore. I'm going to get this money, get a good bunch of money from the Hong Kong Ion, get ascended, and then you and I, little Sarah, are going to get out of here. So that's the setup. Then you're coming into the second last show or the last show. So Dee sort of reunites with Kiki. And for a little...
Well, Kiki comes stalking around her house.
Exactly what happened in Pisgah, Ohio. You know what I mean? That's where Kiki came around fucking little Sarah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So she lets him in, and you don't know why she's doing it, whether she likes him or she's going to use him. So anyways, after... you're not sure, but she does something private with Kiki. And then James Martinez comes back to little Sarah's home, or their home, and she introduces him to Kiki. James Martinez gets... Is that you, Chad, making those noises? I can see it's coming out of your thing. So little Sarah gets introduced... No, little Sarah introduces James Martinez to Kiki. And Kiki's there acting all nervous, his leg is vibrating. He just leaps up and shoots Martinez in the fucking head. No more Martinez. Gone. Dead. Now, little Sarah freaks out. You can't tell, but it looks like she didn't expect the Kiki to go that far. So she's acting outraged. And then she comes in and shoots Kiki, right?
Yeah. That's her reflex. Yeah.
Yeah, so she shoots Kiki. So there's Kiki and Jane Martinez are dead. And that's symbolic of what happened on cash flow and everything. They're all gone. You know, James committed suicide in metaphysically in relation to us. So now she has to cover up the fact that she killed them. So she blames Kiki, right? It says Kiki shot James Martinez and then she defended herself and killed him. Killed Kiki, right?
Yeah.
She has an alibi.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Angela, and she was doing this in Vancouver. She had divided loyalties. She didn't like, we were there for the Michael Blake Reed Evergreens Memorial. She didn't like that crowd. She wasn't sure whether I was real. I was intimidating her. So she started to declare her own cult those weeks there. She would even interfere with the little things that Chad and I were doing. So she was being just a pest. And then she would go and have private conversations. So she's trying to figure out how to start her own scene. She's looking on the internet, all these different cults claiming she's starting.
Yeah, exactly. She'd listen to us talking. She'd be like, fuck ye, I'm going to go off and start my own conversations with other people.
Right. But then she'd have to get me to go, when Chad goes to bed or something, we'd go to some restaurant and late at night, and she would try to pick my brain for what she could use. So it's exactly in this Lily. She's now in love with Bob. Bob seems to be in love with her, and she's now being asked to work for the Canadian, for Carolyn and other people in the Canadian intelligence agency to spy on the Chinese because her father is in jail, and they want to find out what the father knows, and then the father manages to sneak a fake illness and escapes. So now he's able to take Angela back to China. He wants to have a family reunion. He wants to go back to China and die there. And she doesn't want to go back because she wants to stay with Bob. So it's all conflicted. and she has to go along. She has to. She's working for Chinese intelligence and Canadian intelligence, and muddying the difference. So Bob looks at this, typical detached Bob, so he can take advantage of everything. So he gets the daughter to, when he finds out that she's the daughter of Dave Worster and 418 group, he gets her to introduce him to the general. So they get together and have a very private tete-a-tete, and it turns out they each have information that the other could do. So they exchange information, or they think about it, and then it shows them looking at their own stuff and whether to give it to Bob, and Bob whether to give it to Worster. See, there's the whole thing about how much do you tell Worster about Ion, Jed, right? How much is he going to be able to take it? So the 10 episodes ends with what happens to Chad and Dee. I don't remember what the last scenes with them were. He gets arrested. Chad gets arrested. But then that's temporary. And
that was a temporary thing. So you mean when he got beat up with the phone book? Then got out
No. Remember, he went to meet to get the money from Ion, and then they all left the restaurant. He looks around; it's empty. And then the police detective comes in and arrests him. But then Bob lets him go. Yeah, and then that leads to him being beat up by the phone book when Bob gets him off.
Yeah, and then he got out again.
So then what did he do in the last episode?
I'm gonna have to look.
Oh, he goes to his boat. The last scene, he's getting rid. He burns the corpse in his boat.
Yeah, they're starting to eye him as the killer of the Rick guy, who was a member of James Martinez's gang that James Martinez killed, and made the Chad character go and dispose of it. So, who would that Rick guy be? Who's the guy that got dumped in the lake?
James Martinez. Who did James undermine? Well, remember the guy who wanted to grow marijuana? He just got out of jail. He called in. His name was Al, and he was another Al, and he was growing marijuana with the RNA drops, and James was trying to not get too involved, but encourage him, but not get involved. And then one day he's driving around with the guy has bales of dope in his back car with no license or anything. He's going to be arrested any minute. So James has to get rid of Al. He disconnects from him, so metaphorically he dumps Al. Al gets dumped off. That's another dope potential for James in the RNA drops marijuana potential, right? You got that?
Right. Yeah.
So I don't. They're suspicious of D. So it's left. I guess it's going to continue. You don't know. Going to blow it, and Chad, he doesn't know what to do because he's not really with Bob anymore, right?
It sounds like, though, that he's got his crew now, though, and he's in really good standing with the Chinese, with the Triad.
Ion.
And it sounds
still number one with Ion.
Yeah, it seems like he wants to move up the ranks even more. Like, he wants to take advantage of that position.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Bob gets a note, a map or something from the general, and it seems, Chad's going to go back and look, it seems to map up with the empire that Bob laid out in his college lectures. He was mapping Dope Inc. and how China overtook North America. So there's your Ion JW scenario of China running America. And so,
there's a lot of cool insights in there about China, and I like how he laid out in one of his lectures. He said, "My theory is that all nations are drug cartels, and that they use drugs to import them into countries and destabilize economies, just like the British did in the Opium Wars."
Yeah, it's literally LaRouche's book, Dope Inc. Because the Hong Kong banking system is very important in LaRouche's scenario, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, whatever I think it's called. But the point is that the show ends with Bob looking at this interesting information from the general, but you can't tell whether it's confirming or helping. It seems positive, and the general is looking at Bob's information. And that's where it ends.
But the thesis that he has, where he lays out the string of pearls and how over centuries China has just taken control of all the ports on the Pacific Rim,
which looks like, Jed, it looks like all the ports on the map in the chalkboard lecture in university by Bob looks like a ion picture of the Pacific Rim with the volcanoes all around the
Ring of Fire. Yeah.
Yeah, the Ring of Fire.
They call it the String of Pearls in this, but it's the Ring of Fire.
Right. And then
so they're laying up the Ring of Fire and saying that basically China's set themselves up to take over, to control everything because they control the ports.
Yeah, because William Thompson predicts that on the terrestrial level, it moves from Europe, Atlantic, North America, Atlantic Ocean power to the Pacific Ocean, Pacific Shift is the name of Thompson's book, how the power shifts to Asia and China in the world. And he wrote that in 1985. So it is, Bert, it is so literal. You should be impressed at how it maps on this.
Yes.
I was
really validates it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, they're using, a lot of times they shoot these TV shows, they don't use the, excuse me, the actual locations, the physical location of the spot that they're claiming it to be. Like,
right.
You know, I'm watching The X-Files, they're claiming it's taking place in Washington, D.C. and Virginia, and it's all shot in Canada.
Yes. And here it is all about Vancouver, and it's shot in Vancouver, so it's a docudrama.
Is it really specific about location, though? Like, remember the Black Lady Bob, the DEA agent, who was north of the border and getting harassed by the Vancouver cop? Remember her?
Oh, yeah. Who would that be? She's a spy. You know what she would be? She would be any person. We had a couple on BobFest, like Zen Woman, who comes in to get to the top right away. Getting good with Bob or Carolyn or Chad or something, right? And she blows it, trying to move up the ranks, get involved too quickly.
Right, but she says to someone, okay, I'm staying, or no, someone's following her. Somebody's shadowing her, and they say, she's staying in the Patricia Hotel. And you see her walk out of her hotel later, and it actually is the Patricia Hotel in Vancouver. So they use a lot of actual location names.
Yeah, and she was relying on James Martinez. She was the DEA controlling James Martinez. So
yeah.
She's invested in James. Then James gets killed. She has nothing, no witness, anything. So she has to go back home. And the local Vancouver cop who works for Bob, the detective, he gets to tease her and tell her to go fuck herself. As a Canadian objecting to the DEA hiding information from the Canadian narc squad. Mm-hmm. So there's that subplot. But the JW gets what he wants. You saw the ending. Miguel, had arrested his wife in Mexico, so he has to go back, and he knows he's going to be killed, and he knows his wife probably get killed, but he wants to be buried at home, so he goes back to be killed. He commits suicide to be with his wife and get killed, and then JW is happy, right? Because he caught the Matthew character.
But then the other part of the deal is because the Canadians delivered Matthew to JW, the deal is that JW is going to help get the couple out of China, the Canadian spies out of China. So at the end,
right,
they show that the Canadian spies were released back to Canada.
Were they both released?
Because of JW. Yeah, because of JW.
Yeah, JW freed the Canadians in China. And so that's good for Bob. Now, here's an interesting point. Each episode begins with standard footage of scenes of Vancouver and drama. Did you notice what it is? It is the Pam Wall meeting, connecting with Bob, and she leaves a pad, or he leaves a pad on the store's counter, and the other one picks it up. You remember that, the very beginning, the repeating intro? That's her.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, she meets with, I think she came, that's right, she came to Vancouver. So Pam Wall comes to Vancouver and meets with Bob to say she's leaving her husband. Doesn't like what he's doing. Maybe
No, that didn't happen in Vancouver. That happened in Hong Kong. Remember they said, have you ever met with the
right.
Gascoigne's? And he's like, no, I didn't, but he actually did. And they said
in
the
Hong
wife
Kong.
Came to him, and he helped her get a passport so she could get out.
That's what's left on the little store, Chinese store counter in Hong Kong, a piece of like a passport. And they show, each show begins with that, her coming in, being where he was and picking up the little thing that he left for her. So that was the real secret. So they're showing the real key thing that can get Bob in trouble if it's found out that he's lying about meeting her. So
hiding, there's hiding out in the open, because at the beginning of every show.
What?
I said that's an example of the hiding out in the open thing.
Yeah.
They use that motif at the beginning of every show, and it's kind of
the crux.
The true story of what happened.
Yeah, it's all about how the Canadian government wants to get the Canadian spies back. China won't get them back unless they get their dope thing going, and then DEA's in the middle of it. So it's the crossways of it all. So she is going to leave her husband. That's why she gets passport to leave. But then she and her husband get busted. And then that is a problem for Bob. Yeah, I just wanted to point out that they show the key scene every week in the intro.
Right.
Of her. Of Pam Wall. Remember, I used to always say, Pam Wall works for the CIA. I used to always say that.
Yeah, she didn't like that comment.
No. She worked for DEA. Didn't like me lowering her status.
So, your next post, Chad, you could mention that.
Yes. You've seen the post, Bart? It's been on Bob, I know Bob, you know, the summary of the characters in the beginning that Chad has pointed out. He's going to add, complete what we did, but this is the audio version of it.
Right. Well, no, but Chad mentions also this on Dupes, and he posts the passage from The Art of War.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was interesting, too, about how the elder general, when he's taking on the younger guy to take over for him in Vancouver, he started giving him some wisdom and stuff, and he reads him a passage from The Art of War, and it goes, hence the use of spies, of whom there are five classes. One, local spies. That's the chemical body. Two, inward spies. That's the astral body. Three, converted spies, TV body. Four, doomed spies, chip body. And five, surviving spies, which is the mystery body, because there's no death. Everybody survives. When these five kinds of spy are all at work, none can discover their secret system. This is called divine manipulation of the threats. It's the sovereign's most precious faculty. So that's from The Art of War, and the five spies map to the five bodies. But Bart, what were you saying should be my next post?
No, I was saying that was your next post. That was, and you pretty much completed, I mean, this X-ray of the first, that's only the first season, right? There are 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you were just saying to look at my next post after the first one. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I've updated the first post now to put all the information that I learned after seeing all 10 episodes, so it's all there now.
So, I was going to ask Bob if Ion has provided any current shows in which JW or they have been involved.
What'd you say?
I was going to ask if Ion had mentioned any current TV shows that they or JW had been involved in or influenced.
He mentions, I don't know, 100 Revolution, a couple of titles he's mentioned, but I've never looked at them. He just recommends them.
Yeah, but I have to say this. Not Revolution?
No, that was a couple of years ago, and he said they blew it. He didn't like how it turned out. So what? There is a show that he's been talking about the last 2 months, which I don't know what it is. I haven't noted it. I haven't looked at it.
But this is a pretty good matching of characters here.
Yes.
Oh, it's uncanny. It totally fits. Exactly fits everything. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, the very. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, Ian's telling us about China, but Bob's doing it, so there's a mixture between Bob and Ion in this. But that's the Hong Kong guy. Bob doesn't meet him, but Bob meets the leader. Bob goes right to the head of the Chinese team with the general. What are you doing, Jack? Making a lot of noise, man. is your problem?
I thought I was muted.
No. So, you know, Bob gets to go right to the top of the chain. He bypasses the ion and goes right to the Dave Worster
and the general,
who was a 418 guy. But that's Worster, maybe. Now, Worster thinks he's still in charge. Matthew Rose called in last week and said he calls up Worster Casey, and Worster will not talk about ion. Don't do it at all. Still.
So that's General Wu. It's like General Wu Wu.
Yeah. Is he called General Wu? I didn't notice that. That's incredible. General Wu Wu. That's the 418 group. Like the idea that there is this parallel worlding Illuminati kind of gang. That's Wu Wu talk. And he's called General that. That's even better. General Wu Wu.
Yeah, I was looking at the names. The names and how they kind of match. You know, Miguel is close to Matthew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lily's song is, it's almost like the way Angela's accent, you know, her Irish accent, she's got sort of a...
Lilting
song.
Lilting, yeah.
Yeah, it's language expressing, it's what Ian says is the non-physical controlling the art. Like, Ian says there's a non-physical interpretation in the fourth ring in Finney's Wake that Joyce wasn't aware of. So non-physical is always putting stuff in art, in mortar, that remains for us to excavate later. So you see this in the language of this TV show. And we're only watching it because Ed's our connection. Well, I go with what Ed recommends.
Ed Long?
Yeah, he recommended it to me.
Okay. Yeah, Ian said that they created language...
But, is that right?
Yes, but that would have to be, you know.
Hey, Bart, what do you think of the rants? Are you listening to them? Are they stuff that you didn't notice for your mashups, and can you use them for your mashups? What do you make of that, what the Keto's doing?
I haven't gone into – I've heard them as they were created. I've been listening to the show, so I've been hearing them as they're created, but the stuff that I was putting in my mashups has been more kind of highlights.
Right. You were aware of the rant as you.
Oh yeah. So. I've been listening, and especially when Ion, when Carolyn will say, "This is what Ion's doing right now is creating a rant for Akita to post."
Right. Right.
But no, I've been listening to all of them. The rant that Ion does for about half an hour on the Church of the Subgenius was unprecedented.
Yeah. That's incredible. Yes. And, you know, you have to know a lot about it. It's all in there. Like, Janer Hypercleach is a legendary early guy who got mad and he wasn't getting paid by staying, and he left and caused a big split, sort of, big problems. You have Ion going, where's Janer? Which was what always was brought up on all Slack was, you know, where's Janer now? I mean, he knows exactly the thought patterns going on in the Church of Subgenius.
It would probably blow Stang's mind or their mind if they listen to it.
Yeah, I think they're protected.
Protected from what?
For a while. Protected from hearing what we're doing. That I'm their chosen Bob. They've predicted.
Yeah. Although you've interacted with them and they've been incredulous for the most part.
Yeah. I still go over and post 164 hours on Zappa, other Ionic statements, all the rants. I'll constantly post stuff over there. And it's usually ignored. There's somebody who imitates me who keeps posting stuff as me saying absurd things about Carolyn. That's the response. So when the music's going to start any second, we'll be back in 5 hours.
Good talking to you.
Yes, thank you very much, Chad.
Yeah, thanks, Chad.
Thanks, Chad.